to stop making excuses. Realize our sin. Confess our sin. Quit living in our sin. And we get a fresh start. I guess one of the things I thought about this week was fess up and face up. Fess up and face up to our problems. And it's hard to admit when you are wrong, because I never am. I expected Diane to say something. You know, how many of you are the firstborn in your family? Anybody? How many of you are always right? You are the firstborns. How many of you are always right? Kyle, you're the only born. See, but here's the problem. And people who do all these studies and things will tell you, a firstborn child ought never to marry a firstborn child. I'm a firstborn child. My wife is a firstborn child. So she thinks she's right all the time, but I am. Did somebody say she knows she's right all the time? But event plus response equals outcome. Fess up to your shortcomings and face up to the way you need to live your life. And if we fess up and face up, we can get a fresh start. Does that make sense? We need to stop making excuses. Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent man foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Stop making excuses. Here's some ways to help you do that. Seek out good advice. Seek out good advice and listen to it. You're going through a difficult situation in your life. Seek out somebody who is wise. Seek out someone who will look at the situation objectively. We don't need someone to always agree with us. Sometimes we need to be confronted. Seek out advice, listen to that advice, and realize this: pride leads to destruction. It's not all about us. T. How about T, John? You got it? Always. Take an inventory of your life. Galatians 3:4 says this: have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? Our experiences help us to determine where we're going to live our lives, and we need to do an inventory once in a while of where we are. Let me ask you this morning. Last New Year's, you were in one place spiritually. Are you still there? Or have you progressed? Are you in the same place spiritually as you were 6 months ago, or 3 months ago, or 2 months ago, or last month? We ought to be growing in the Lord, shouldn't we? We need to take an inventory of our life, and I've shared this with you before, but it's the best illustration I can think of. In the Olympics, anybody ever watch the rowing? How do they sit in that little boat? They sit facing the rear, and they row. They look where they've been, and they keep going toward the finish line. We need to take a look at where we've been, but we also need to realize where we're going. Be honest with yourself. And that's sometimes it's difficult to be honest with yourselves. Why? Why do you think it's difficult? For me, it's because I think I know everything when I realize I don't. It's because I think that I know what's best. It's because maybe I imagine myself to be more than I am. You see, I got up this morning and I looked in the mirror, and you know what I saw? I saw Charles Atlas. You know, I had this sleek, athletic body that you see this morning. But when I walked away, it wasn't that way at all. You see, be honest with yourself. Know who you are. And get to be comfortable with a person looking back at you in the mirror. Take an inventory. We learn from our experiences, or we should. And here's some experiences we should learn from. One, personal experiences. What have you personally experienced over the past year? What can you learn from your personal experiences? How can you grow from those things? Isn't that the goal? to grow from our experiences. They say that wisdom is a crown of, or gray hair is a crown of wisdom. Baldness is somewhere else. I'm not there yet. But we ought to be learning from our experiences. I grew up in a tough home. I ought to have learned from that. I can no longer use that as an excuse for the way I behave. So we can learn from our personal experiences. We need to learn from our painful experiences as well. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it is very hard to take another step. Sometimes people that you don't expect to hurt do. Sometimes things don't go well. Sometimes you lose your job. Sometimes you lose your retirement. Sometimes you lose all these things. But we can learn from painful experiences. And one of the things we learn from painful experiences is that God's promises are real. That we can depend on Him regardless of the situation we find ourselves in. Something else, not only personal experiences and painful experiences, but our spiritual experiences. Let me ask you this. What's the last experience with God that you can name this morning? When is the last real encounter with God that you can think of this morning? Because if we're having a problem thinking about that last spiritual encounter with God, then we're in a really troublesome place spiritually. We need to learn from our spiritual experiences. We need to learn from our failures. We need to learn from our successes. And we need to take an inventory of our lives. Something else we need to learn to do is act in faith. Do you really believe that what you believe is really real? Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Is it real? Is it really the Word of God? Then does it make a difference in your life? Does it make a difference in my life? Do we really believe what we believe is really real? Faith will expand us. Faith will cause us to move out of our comfort zones. Faith will cause us to think differently. Faith will cause us to do different things. And if we're going to get a fresh start, what we need is to expect God to move us in a different direction. Are you comfortable with where you are now? Are you? Just a question. Maybe God has moved or spoken to us to move somewhere else, to move deeper into faith. And maybe we're comfortable where we are. Act in faith. God always does what He says He will do. God never calls you to a place where He will not equip you and empower you to follow His leading. Act in faith. Do you really believe that God can do anything? Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 says, "With humanly speaking, it is not possible. But nothing is impossible with God." Now that's my paraphrase. And do you believe that today? Nothing is impossible with God? I mean, I know you're all looking up here, but are you awake? Do you believe that all things are possible with God? Every once in a while, people ought to say, "Hey, I agree with that." One way to say that, Marty, is amen. There you go. If you beg for it, you get it. We need to act in faith. Two blind men in Matthew chapter 9. Two blind men come to Jesus and say, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus says to them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" And they said, "Yes, Lord, we do." "Because of your faith, it will happen." Do you believe that Jesus can do in your life what you need Him to do? Yes. Then I can make it happen. Believe God. Believe His promises. Do you believe that God can do what you need him to do? Here's a better question. Do you believe that God will do what you need him to do? God can. Will he? Yes. God not only can, but God will do what we need him to do. We need to act in faith. And that means learning from our failure. I did some reading this week, and some of this sermon is from somebody else. I'm not smart enough to think all these things all the time. But some of this sermon is from somebody else, and if I could remember his name right now, I would let you know. But we need to learn from our failure. Thomas Edison, his home is in Milan, Ohio. When I was a kid, we went on a field trip to Thomas Edison's home. Here's what's true. Edison invented the light bulb. It is said that it took at least 200 times for him to figure out how to make that light bulb stay lit. If it took 200 times, that means 199 times he failed. But he learned by his failure. He learned what he needed to do. And that's true of anyone who has ever attempted anything. We fail at what we try, but we don't stay down. We allow God to pick us up. We allow God to keep us and nudge us on to where we're going. Learn from your failure. Don't live in the past, and don't be bogged down by your failure. And remember, nothing is impossible with God. We need to learn from the past. I spoke about that a minute ago. We need to trust God, act in faith in the present, and we need to look for guidance in the future. Act in faith. R should be the next slide. Refocus. We need to refocus. We need to rethink the way we think. Is that proper English, Kyle? We need to rethink the way we think. We need to rethink the way we've done things. We need to allow God to transform our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." And how's God going to change the way we think? He's going to change it through his word. He's going to change it through our just reading the word. He's going to change it through our study of the word. He's going to change it through our prayer. Allow God to transform you, to turn you into something that he wants you to be, to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Let God transform you into a new person. We need to change the way we think, change the things we've been doing, and sometimes change the reason we do it. Why is it that you do in the church the things you do? Sometimes we do it to be seen. Sometimes we do it out of obligation. But what should move us to do it is realizing that God has put us in that position to do for him and for others what he chooses to do through us, because he can use others. Fix your eyes on God. Refocus. And here's some more. You know, this whole sermon is filled with acronyms. The first is START. Now we have another one, if it's ready, John, SMART. You've heard of SMART goals. Almost all of you who have been in business have heard of SMART goals. And here's how to learn to refocus. The first one is be specific. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do this year. For example, if I'm going to lose weight, let's just say I want to lose 25 pounds first. I need to realize there's the specific goal. I want to lose 25 pounds. Tom, you can hold me to this if you want. Second thing, it has to be measurable. How am I going to do it? I can lose a pound this week or 2 pounds this week or 3 pounds this week, but I have to be able to measure it in relation to the 25 pounds. Isn't that right? I also have to realize it's achievable. If I say that I'm going to lose 75 pounds, in my head, I'm probably already defeated. But if I want to lose 75 pounds, I can do it in increments. I can do it in ways that's measurable. I can do it in ways that are specific. I can achieve it. Something else needs to be realistic. It needs to be realistic. Specific, measurable, achievable, and realistic. Is it realistic to expect that I can lose 25 pounds? Absolutely it is. Is it realistic to realize that any of us who wants to lose that weight or read the Bible or do anything, do we set realistic goals? Can I do this? Is it realistic? Yeah, it is. Do something that's realistic, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-related. I can lose this weight in a year. I can lose this weight in 6 months. I can lose this weight in 3 months. I have to determine in what time frame I want to lose that weight. Don't I? So it has to be specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-related. Smart. Has to be a smart goal. Let me tell you this. There's a couple other things that have to happen if you're going to do those things. You have to be accountable. You have to be accountable to someone. So when I'm out and I'm out with my wife and I say, look, Diane, I can have these French fries. She needs to say, you need to have the broccoli. I can eat the broccoli, but if she says eat the asparagus, nope. If she says eat the artichokes, it ain't happening. That's not happening either. But if she says eat the broccoli, then I can do that. More protein, fewer carbs, I can get this done. Doesn't mean I don't eat carbs at all. More protein, fewer carbs. Be accountable to someone. The other thing I want to tell you this morning is bathe it in prayer. Make sure that you pray daily. Make sure that you ask God for His help. Make sure that you ask somebody else for their help. Be accountable and be prayerful. And the way we can start refocusing is in His Word. Psalm 1, verse 2 says this, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Do you love the Bible? Do you love to read the Bible? Is it your delight? Or is it something we do because we think we have to? If you go to it with expectation, if you go to it expecting to hear from God, if you go to it expecting to receive comfort and strength, it'll be much better than opening the Bible and saying, oh man, I got to do this again. Refocus. Trust. The T is trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you what path to take. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Trust in the Lord with a piece of your heart. Trust in the Lord with that little piece of your heart that you really want to give Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. Seek His will in everything that we do, and He will put us on the right path. Do you trust Him today? I'm just asking, do we really trust Him today? We need to learn to depend on God. And my dad was born in 1925. I think the Depression was from 1929 to 1939. And there were a lot of your folks that were born in that time. And what they learned was, what they realized they had to do was to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. And that is sometimes the mantra of the world. We can do it ourselves. We need to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Let me tell you this. If that's your thinking, you will never learn to depend on God. We experience difficulties so we can learn to trust Him more. We experience difficulties so that we can be more conformed to the image of His Son. We need to learn to depend on Him. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and expecting different results. Doing the same old stuff in the same old way and expecting something different. Does that characterize your life sometimes? God wants to do new things in our lives. God wants to move us beyond that, doing the same old stuff in the same old way and getting the same old results. We need to rethink the things we do. We need to take those things that are valuable, dismiss the things that aren't, and add the things that God wants us to do. And so sometimes we need to think through what we do in our lives. We need to think through what we do as a church. And we need to strengthen the things we do well and cut loose the things we don't, trusting that God will bring something else into our lives. We can't change who we are, but God can change us. We need to trust Him. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says this, "Then he said to me, 'This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies.'" It's not with us. It's all with Him. He can do whatever He chooses to do. He can take you wherever He calls you to go. He can equip you to do whatever ministry He's moving you toward. It's all about God. We can trust Him, can't we? Here's the last acronym, FAITH. Faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. What about you this morning? Forsaking all, I trust Him. It's like the rich young ruler who went to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Go sell everything that you have and then come and follow me." The scripture tells us that he went away sorrowful, because he could not make or would not make that sacrifice. We need to sacrifice anything. We need to set aside anything that comes between us and God. Whatever that might be, forsaking all, I trust Him. Do you think you can? Do you think you can trust God? Well, here we're going to close with all these acronyms. We need to start smart and act in faith. Start smart and act in faith. If you need to know what those acronyms are later, come see me. Don't go home without them. Now, the question is, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go where we've never gone before? If God is leading us somewhere, are we willing to go? Are we willing to do things that we've never done before? Are we willing to change things that we've done all the time so that we can become more like Him? Are we willing this year to start and read the Bible through? I promise you, if you do, it will make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in the way you think. It will make a difference in the way you see God. It'll make a difference in the way you see yourself. Start smart in faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you are preparing